When the whole world seems turned upside down, we sort through it together. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Welcome back to today's News Talk TNT. It's a jam-packed Thursday edition of the Johnny Vedmore Show we're having today. We've already talked to Graham Moore and Brian Looper, aka Canacon, but we should have another couple of stormers coming up in the next hour. It's a bit of a birthday episode in that sense for me, because I've got only returning guests and some of the ones that I completely loved the most. So, I mean, I really do appreciate all of these guys' works. I'm just looking across in the chat, seeing how busy it is. It's so good to see people having a big conversation in there, having a proper, you know, a proper chat. Get on the chat if you want to have a conversation. If you have any questions for the guests that are coming up, please put a cue beforehand so I can notice it when I'm looking out the corner of my eye. But have you seen what's been happening in Texas recently? Columbia University could repeat history if they're not careful, at least in my opinion. And to those who have a good grasp of American history, well, yesterday I pointed out the similarities between the actions of Texas Governor Greg Abbott, a fervent supporter of political Zionism, of course, and the actions of James Rhodes in the 70s, who was the governor of Ohio during the event known today as the Kent State Massacre. Now, in Kent State University, during late April and early May 1970, students began to protest the American invasion of Cambodia. Some people don't even know, or haven't got a clue about history enough that they know that Cambodia was ever invaded by the Americans, but it was. Nixon had decided that invading Cambodia so the US troops could flank the Viet Cong in Vietnam was an acceptable move. You know, just pull your troops into the next sovereign country without any fear of retribution or further warfare breaking out. However, students around the country didn't agree with Nixon and Kissinger's belief that more war would mean less war, which is what they were trying to sell it as. And many college campuses, of course, erupted across America to protest the US's expansion of a very unpopular war. We see the same sort of protests happening today. After Israel, by official UN figures, have killed more than 15,000 children alone, which makes up almost a third of the casualties seen so far in this extremely unpopular conflict. Like in Kent State, Governor Greg Abbott has called in state forces to clear the protesters. This has led to scenes extremely reminiscent of what was leading up to the Kent State shootings, where four young, promising and talented students, none of whom were violent or aggressive, were shot to death. To learn the lessons of Kent State, the Scranton Commission was formed, which criticized the heavy-handed tactics of the National Guard during the Kent State protests and questioned why they were even needed at all. It actually made the students more likely to become aggressive and more likely to respond because they had another force to actually bounce off, you could say. Ironically, in the case of Columbia University today, Greg Abbott has previously actively supported freedom of speech for American students in campuses around the country. However, Abbott is clearly, it has a clear conflict of interest. He is seemingly in the pockets of the political Zionists who are running Israel and who are actively committing a genocide. During Kent State, Ohio Governor James Rhodes was responding to protests against clear and obvious American military intervention abroad. But in the case of Columbia today, Greg Abbott is supporting an American proxy war against the Palestinian people. Yes, the Gaza conflict could be described as Israel's military action, but in actual fact, it is an American proxy war, such as we see in Ukraine. The Americans are funding large parts of the conflict. They're stopping any international body from successfully pursuing peace. And they're advising Israel in a way that makes them allied in the war against the Palestinian people and, ergo, complicit in the unfolding genocide. With that taken into consideration, Kent State and Colombia are slightly different. However, the official crackdown on peaceful protesters on the campuses across America should be cause for great concern. Those who are responsible for the authoritarian actions, these authoritarian actions, are creating a powder keg, which is ready to explode in their proverbial faces at any time. It is clear to everybody watching that America continues and fails to learn lessons from its previous failures. It is treading the same dangerous path as it did in the past. Whether it's now or in the future, expect to see the tragedy of Ohio happen again. Now, again, how do you fancy bank holiday weekend at a music festival for the Truth and Freedom Tribe? With 30 awake artists, including Danny Ramblin and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, bouncy castles and Hope Sussex for the children, plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors. The vendors themselves are scrumptious. This is an event not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth in the world. A Stand in the Park and the Light paper presents A Stand in the Light, a truth music festival in the beautiful Lake District on May 24th to 27th. So in a month's time. You get 4 days camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 plus booking fee. Children under five come free. There is no better bargain anywhere, they say. Visit the website now to make sure you don't miss what is going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole Freedom family. StandInTheLight.uk. And remember, do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT wants to promote it for you. Simply visit the What's On event calendar on the TNT website and submit your event details, and we'll get the word out on TNT.
Talk that matters.
For once, we just need to do what's best for this damn country and not what's best for the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
On Wednesday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture issued a federal order that any dairy cows being transported across state lines must first be tested for what all cows should be tested for: bird flu. Here with the story, join me again, is TNT news producer, my favorite guy on the block, Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. Come on, tell me a little bit more about how these cows are going to be grown wings.
We're swabbing the cows, Johnny. They got to take a test. Is this a PCR test? We are now contact tracing cows, people. That's how far the lunacy has come. Yeah, they're really trying to push this scaremongering thing. We've been watching this one for a while, and it clearly is building up. It's following a pattern here. But yes, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the USDA, issued a federal order that says, quote, prior to interstate movement, dairy cattle are required to receive a negative test for influenza A virus, end quote. It remains uncertain at this early reporting stage, Johnny, whether or not the cows will have to wear face masks. Regardless, a strain of the highly pathogenic avian influenza A, H5N1, has been allegedly, supposedly, reportedly spreading across the country since it was first detected in cows last month in March. We commonly consider or call this particular strain of influenza the bird flu. It'll probably have a name change coming soon. At this point, no beef cattle are known to have been infected with the virus, but that also could change any moment now. The order, which takes effect on April 29th, covers lactating dairy cattle only. Testing requirements for other dairy cows, quote, will be based on scientific factors concerning the virus and its evolving risk profile, end quote. That's according to the USDA, who knows lots and lots about viruses. Yeah, they know nothing about viruses. Anyway, the testing must be done by an approved National Animal Health Laboratory Network lab. And according to USDA officials, positive flu tests will prohibit cows from being moved for 30 days until they test negative. You can't make this up. They were locking the people up last time, and they realized we're probably not going to get away with it. But hey, maybe we can have a lockdown on the cows. Anyway, all right. So owners of herds that contain cows that test positive will be required to provide epidemiological information to authorities, including information on where the cows have been. Yep. We're contact tracing the cows. Testing of the cows for the bird flu has to, I'm sorry, testing of cows for the bird flu has to present only been done on a voluntary basis. It's like an AI wrote this one source I'm looking at. Sorry, guys, I don't know what happened there. But they've been directed, the farmers, to only test cows, this is my favorite part, who are displaying symptoms of having the bird flu. So the farmers have to know which cows might have bird flu, and then it's on them to test them and submit the results to the National Animal, I don't know who they have to report this to authorities, it just says. So I'm like, are we reporting this to the USDA, the Department of Agriculture, or are we reporting this to the CDC? What the heck is going on? And then real quick, how this all started was that we were detecting them in certain states. Currently, right now, they keep reporting this. So remember what I brought up about 33 in my last story. 33 presents itself in this story. And in this case, I don't trust it at all. All of the media outlets report that as of Wednesday, as of yesterday, 33 herds across 8 states, including Kansas, New Mexico, and Texas, have tested positive for the bird flu, which just is an extra sign to me this is a bunch of baloney. But what say you, Johnny?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You could test anything and find a bit of bird flu there nowadays. They did the same a couple of years ago with sea lions or seals in Chile as well, where they were saying they potentially got bird flu, everyone's going to die. Now, it's not a surprise they start picking on cows, though, and I've done a load of research into this, would you believe, cows and disease, because of the foot and mouth disease crisis, which led to a mass lockdown all across the UK and was instigated by the exact same people who pushed for the lockdowns during the pandemic, the COVID pandemic. Neil Ferguson and Roy Anderson were put in charge of making all of the computer models that would show everybody that it was going to go out of control and all the cows would die. So the best thing was to burn all of the cows. Now, something else with the foot and mouth disease crisis that they pulled in that way. And remember, 8 million cows were murdered and put on burning pyres all around the UK. You could go down the motorways and see massive burning pyres of cattle during that period. It was a completely disgusting moment. And they weren't happy enough with cows. They started to say, Neil Ferguson started to say, you know, they could be a little cross. It could cross over to sheep, because sheep also are on farms. So look at that sheep over there. He looks a little bit wonky. We should test all of the sheep as well, shouldn't we? So they want to expand. And they want to expand. But what they were doing was testing out for their future pandemic protocols, for their lockdowns, and for everything else. And the bird flu excuse is something that then, after the foot and mouth disease, Neil Ferguson himself kept pushing over and over again. Oh, look, China. He literally said that in, I think it was 2007, 2008, he claimed that the bird flu outbreak in China, that they had kind of manufactured themselves. Jeremy Farrar himself had turned up at some place and the World Health Organization had left and said, no, we couldn't find anything there. And his helper dug up a dead bird and found that it was infected, and it launched the bird flu scare. And it was Neil Ferguson who was saying 200 million people were die of bird flu. This is the type of nonsense that they were trying to spark a global pandemic. This is constantly what this is. So this is the same. I would think this will go on for 10, 20 years before they get to the next pandemic. They will every couple of years say, all of the sea lions have bird flu. All of the cows have bird flu. Or maybe all of the sheep have bird flu. And they'll keep doing it over and over again. It keeps giving them money. It keeps giving them influence. And of course, what does it do? It leaves us in a state of confusion and subservient to their desires once they decide to lock down the entirety of society because they've managed to create the spark. They have to create 1,000 sparks like they did before COVID. They had to create 1,000 sparks before one of them ignited a worldwide proper pandemic like we've seen. So this is unbelievable behavior from them. Is there any sign that anyone's taking this seriously, or is this just what I think is just them trying to ignite a flame that may spark at some point?
Well, I'm taking it seriously because there are two other things I want to point out real fast, if I may. Number one, there's already talk of them making a vaccine for the cows. So, cha-ching, way to go, Big Pharma. And then the most discerning, upsetting thing, little Carol in the chat was asking, are they going to test every cow? No, actually, as I just reported, in case you missed it, all the reports are saying that it's on the farmers to test cows showing signs of bird flu. And the number one sign for farmers to watch out for is a decrease in appetite. Now, I might be a conspiracy theorist, Johnny, but I've been hearing a lot of talk of them changing what they're going to be feeding cattle. They want to feed them the bugs. And if I was a cow, I might not want to eat that, which means I might be showing signs of a low appetite. Just saying. Anyways, that's where I'll leave it at.
Completely unbelievable. Just looking across at the chat, some people say, like just the bloke who asked questions says, makes sense, Johnny, bovine and ovine are only one letter away from each other after all, clown world. Here, just hidden truth by a shower of bees, I won't say that word, a lot of those animals were piled up and injured and burnt alive. And locals said they were bleating and calling out as they were being burnt, and I heard that as well. Thank you very much for joining me again, Ruckus. I'll see you tomorrow, I'm sure. You have a nice one, all right?
Thanks, you too. Happy birthday, Johnny.
Thank you very much. You're listening to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's Mark Morano.
Politico, German transport minister threatens, quote, indefinite driving bans on weekends to meet climate goals. Yay! Roll out the barrel. There you go. This is akin to Stalin's five-year plan, the Chinese agricultural revolution, so to speak, where bureaucrats, usually mid-level, enforce these diktats from high-level bureaucrats and politicians from big summits like UN climate summits. And each sector of the economy has goals. And if you fail to meet them, drastic action may be necessary.
Mark Morano on today's News Talk, TNT.
The Lights is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
Sometimes, a car comes along that changes everything. With innovations never thought possible, and features that make you wonder, how did people survive without this? This is that time, and this is that car. This is the world's first VW. Equipped with transparent doors to eliminate reasonable suspicion, whatever that means. A 10-2 steering wheel that keeps hands visible at all times. We remove the glove box so there's no confusion about what the driver is reaching for. With a touch of a button, the ultrasonic biometric scanner displays the license and registration of the driver to ensure contactless exchange of information. With no trunk, nothing can be concealed, so therefore, there is nothing to search and seize. To ensure you will never be mistaken for breaking the speed limit, we've installed limited edition airless tires. And we removed the engine because, honestly, why risk it? DWB, the first vehicle of its kind, where the safety feature is the car itself.
I have a feeling these are the suspects in question. The two occupants look like the people involved in the armed robbery. I'm approaching the vehicle. Request backup. The driver matches the description because of a wide-set nose.
Are we on the air?
Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
On the air 24/7. Your news talk giant, TNT.
Welcome back to TNT, today's news talk on the Johnny Vedmore Show. This is a bit of a birthday present to myself as I'm speaking to some of my favorite guests from the past month. Next up is a proper citizen journalist, work which I have an abundance of respect for. Hernando Arce is covering the invasion of the U.S. southern border and was unlawfully arrested by the police, of course, as we covered last time. You can support his work at www.givesendgo.com/Hernando Arce, that's A-R-C-E, or go to rumble.com to see him again, Hernando Arce, so under his own name. Hernando, welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show. Really happy to see you back. Welcome.
Thank you, Johnny. It's great to be back on your show. Thank you for having me back.
No, I love it. You're obviously doing good work. Now, tell me a little bit about work permits for these illegal migrants that are coming across the southern border.
Well, that seems to be the new trend that's happening here in the south of Texas. I'm at the American Replacement Center, as I coined it, because we're getting replaced by these illegal aliens. And so when I'm documenting these people that are coming in within days of coming to America, they show me their documents, and documents don't lie. You know, we got to be careful what misinformation you get out there on both sides of the spectrum. So when this illegal told me he was looking forward to go to work in California in September, I told him, well, you can't work because you don't have a work permit. And he said, Johnny, he said, oh, I do. Look, let me show you the paperwork. And he pulled it out. And it was basically a form telling them that while they're being screened at the border by breaking into our country, if they want to take a photograph of their face so they can use it for a work permit, once they go into the interior of the country, once they apply for the work permit, they can use that photograph that they broke the law coming here illegally, criminal trespassing, and then put forward the process to go to work. And so that's the latest, Johnny. It's breaking news. And they tell us that we're always conspiracy theorists, that that's a conspiracy or this is a conspiracy, but it only takes 6 months really for a conspiracy to turn into a fact, Johnny.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And you just explained it really well, really quickly. I really like that. The entirety of the Western world is currently receiving an influx of migrants. Over my side of the world, there's protests happening in England, Ireland, and my own country in Wales right now, which mimics the scenes we see on the America's southern border. Who do you think is responsible for the disaster we're seeing unfold before us?
Well, with the last surge we've seen invasion in the last since Obama, it's the United Nations that's responsible, because they're the ones that are putting this whole cabal together. It's international, like you just mentioned, all these westernized Christian civilized countries. So it would be the United Nations. Then you trickle down to World Economic Forum, IMF, and then it trickles down to Catholic charities and these faith-based organizations. But to answer your question also more granularly here in America, the Republican Party and I'm a Republican, I'm registered. Republican Party has always wanted cheap labor, and that's why we never got a secure border. And so that's, you see that with these major national, international corporations. They want these illegals here because they're going to replace guys like myself, blue collar, hardworking men like myself. And of course, the Democratic Party, they're not free either. They want the votes. And so people need to understand, once these illegals are given the work permits, it's a government ID. It's an official government ID, which they can use to go and vote. And that's not another, that's not conspiracy. That's going to be fact usually within 6 months, right? So that's the reason. Those are the people that are responsible, Johnny.
Yeah, I do think there's a lot of people, like normal citizens, who are captured in that virtue signaling net that's put out to capture all of these people who all just feel like, I feel so sorry for these poor migrants. They've had such a hard life. I want to help them. And they use that sort of good sense inside people. Listen, we're going to have to take a quick 30-second news break, but we'll be back soon. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
Now, TNT Radio News.
You are completely obsessed with
breaking news.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Admiral Tony Radakin, Britain's chief of defense staff, has predicted that Ukraine will intensify its long-range strikes inside Russia. At the University of Texas at Austin, law enforcement arrested several participants of an anti-Israel protest demanding the university divest from manufacturers supplying weapons to Israel. California Governor Gavin Newsom, alongside the Legislative Women's Caucus, announced a new bill aimed at permitting Arizona-based doctors to temporarily practice in California to provide abortions.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back. I'm here with Hernando Arce, who's down there often on the border of America, trying to find out what's really going on and talking to people who are coming across and getting real stories, which is really interesting. Now, I've got a quick question that's popped up in the chat. I'm looking over there now, and Dark Commission has asked, what becomes of the cheap labor when AI and automation take over? It's just around the corner.
Well, yes, AI is the future. And they will be taking over, work jobs like driving and transportation, that type of sort of thing. But there will always be a sector of employment for human beings. So I think you may be looking too much into the future, maybe 50 years, 100 years from now. As for now, this invasion is being created and being done to destroy all the Western Christian civilized nations. And so,
it's a good answer. It's a good answer you gave. What actions can everyday citizens in countries like America take to protect their borders from this influx of what is essentially economic migrants then?
Well, that's a good question. 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, I would have told just call your congressman, write to your congressman, but that doesn't work anymore. Calling your congressman, your representative, doesn't work. I don't care if it's city, state, or federal, because they're the ones that got us into this mess. So forget about calling them. That's a waste of time. But what I would do is what I'm a regular citizen, just like that person who put the comment there. And what I did is pick up my phone, my iPhone, and start recording and start documenting what you see in your neighborhood and start creating a group of followers. The attorney general of Texas watches my videos, and he gets intel from my videos, and he's a great man. He's trying really hard to secure the border. The attorney general, I'm not too crazy about the governor of Texas, but pick up the phone, start recording, because I believe in illumination will lead to elimination. You need to illuminate them and embarrass your politicians for what they've done to us in order to eliminate what's happening to us, Johnny.
Yeah. You're talking about Governor Greg Abbott there. And of course, I was just talking about him as well. And he seems to be more a friend of the Zionists who rule Israel, not even the Jewish population who live in Israel, just the Zionist politicians who rule at the top, and definitely not the American people. So, I mean, he obviously doesn't have too much care for people. Listen, how can leaders make it easier for these swathes of migrants to find work and opportunities in their countries of origin?
How can politicians? Well, they are making it easy. Yeah, they're giving them IDs right now. They're going to.
No, I mean in their countries of origin, though, like where they come from originally.
Well, that's a whole new different topic now. I mean, you know, when I interview these people, they're coming from countries that are being destroyed within. And these are unfortunately socialist countries and communist or dictatorship countries. And our government has a hand in that with the CIA and these other operations that happen that we don't know about, the black ops. So, but it, you know, they would have to fix their own country, and they just take the easy road out and know that the border is open at America. They just decide just to come here because it's easier than really doing the hard work, which is fixing your own broken system and your own broken country. We see a country like El Salvador, they're taking the lead on it. You know, that the president, Brahim, if I pronounce his name right, he put all those gang members in jail, over 150,000 of them. And he made his monetary currency now Bitcoin. Bitcoin, which is the future of the world's global currency, and I'm an owner of Bitcoin. And so, if you want to start fixing your country, they should start looking at Bitcoin. Buy, stack, and chill.
I kind of agree with that. I do think that there will be an attack on cryptocurrencies once they try and introduce CBDCs, and that you have to kind of grip onto that. And I don't think it seems to be going really well in countries where Bitcoin have been adopted. It seems to go really well because really the state is not involved, and that is one of the biggest problems with money. As soon as the state get involved, their eyes roll up into the back of their head, and they become the Emperor Palpatine figure, don't they? Unlimited power, and they think they could just take it all away. If someone wants to do what you're doing, going down, picking up your iPhone, join the struggle to protect the border, what advice would you give them to be successful?
That's a good question. I didn't go to school for journalism. I didn't study this. You just have to be presentable in terms of, you know, your speak and your talk. You need to be a little bit savvy on how to address these illegals when you meet with them. You don't want to be confrontational with them. You know, I speak Spanish, so that helps me out a lot because people that come here are all Latin. But in different parts of the country, in different parts of the world, they may speak English or Arabic or French or whatever country you're from. But just be, don't be too confrontational. Just ask them what their journey was like, why they're here, why, when, how, what. Those are the four questions. And so you'd be surprised they like to open up. I've never had a problem interviewing an illegal alien. They all want to share their stories with me, and they have some interesting stories. So it's the NGOs you have to worry about and the police. They're the ones that are going to arrest you and try to blow up your car, Johnny.
So sorry, you got me giggling there. But who's the worst out of that then? Is it the police who are really the ones who want to target you? And what do they have in it? Why don't they just keep the peace? Why would they have to harass people, do you think?
I think the worst is the NGOs, the non-government organizations, because they're very uneducated, low information people that work for them. These people are not vetted. I had one almost attack me 2 weeks ago. I had it on camera too, and it went viral, that video, and he got fired from his job. He works for a janitorial company, and he was cleaning the toilet bowls in his center, and he almost attacked me, and the police had to break it up. As for the police, I've embarrassed the department. I've embarrassed all the NGOs, where they don't even want to talk to reporters anymore because they know that I'm watching them, and they've let out a lot of information that they didn't want public. These NGOs, the president, for one, Catholic Charities of San Antonio, he doesn't talk on camera anymore or to the press because he said some damaging things on camera. And so the police, they have embarrassed the department. They are taking money from NGOs as security guards, 24/7. and I made the department look bad. Now when they see me, they know, you know, not to mess with me too much. Thank God. That's the power of the camera, John.
I agree with you completely. They got my face on facial recognition. So when I'm out doing police auditing, they often know my name before they've even clocked me. And nowadays, I think they've got a little note on the file that says, stay far away. They stopped me at a protest. They wouldn't let me through at one point. And when they did my name come back to them, eventually they just like split, like the seas had parted. You're doing really good work, man. What do you, one last quick question before we wrap this up. What do you think is going to happen in the election? Do you think Trump can actually stop this if he gets in?
Donald J. Trump, who I grew up in his neighborhood, so I'm a little biased to him. He guided me into real estate when I read his book, The Art of the Deal, 30 years ago. So I he's a great man. I think he's been the best president in my lifetime. He's the only man that could fix the immigration problem we have in this country, and probably even worldwide, in your country maybe. But he can. He had the lowest amount of illegals entering our country in his 4 year, the lowest amount in 40 years. So he's the man to fix the problem. And I pray and hope that nothing happens to him, because they're trying to put him in jail and take away his security detail, so they can probably have him killed in jail. These people go, they'll go to any means to get him not into the White House again. And so I pray to God that he does win, because he is the only man in the planet that could fix this problem.
Well, thank you, Hernando, for all your hard work. Thanks for coming on again, telling us about the border crisis. Stay safe. Don't get into too much trouble if you can avoid it. And come back sometime and we'll have another conversation, all right?
You bet. Thank you, Johnny.
Anytime, my friend. Excellent. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
I was such a young age. Everything changed. My name is Chloe. When I was 13, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. When I found out, I just didn't know how to react. I felt like everything was just kind of closing in on me. It just became a routine. Dad's doing chemo. I'd come home from school, wait for mum to finish work, and we'd go straight to the hospital, spend a few hours there, just draw. It was hard to navigate going to school. Hundreds of kids, and I was the only one with a dying dad. He was diagnosed in March, and then he died in October. Towards the end, I heard about Canteen. It kind of felt nice to know that they had other people like me. They understood what I was going through, and we didn't even have to chat about cancer. In 2020, I became a youth ambassador, so I can help others the way they helped me. I've done so many things since I was 13. I've graduated high school, university, gotten my license, made a move across the country. Life now is just a whole lot more fun. Please give a gift today to support more young people like me experiencing cancer.
You are loved. You are valued. You are resilient. You got this.
You're there for them. We are here for you. Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiver.
Cutting through the clutter. This is Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Anticipate potential delays for the morning commute. In other news, a recent government report on prescription drug pricing points to corporate
Freedom of the press is about your right to know.
What are you talking about, man? Look at his stats.
It's about your right to be informed. Your right to access all types of information keeps us free as a nation.
No.
Today, there are real threats to press freedom. And your right to know about the world around us.
Look.
Some threats are obvious, some are easy to miss, but they all put our way of life at risk. We must defend against all of these threats, no matter what kind of news is important to you.
Justified putting American troops in harm's way?
That's a great question.
We must protect our right to know before it's too late. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
When the whole world seems turned upside down, we sort through it together. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk. TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show, my friends, on this edition. And it is flying by, and I'm going to end it on a high note. One meeting a man who I'm about to speak with has literally changed my entire outlook on life and advanced my own theories concerning human interaction. Ash Mahmood is an award-winning filmmaker, activist, and science teacher. At the start of the COVID tyranny, he launched a national social archive called Planet Uplift to give a voice to people who questioned the state's narrative on lockdown restrictions and those who suffered as a state or as a result of state tyranny. Ash's brother, Naeem, is the director of a phenomenal film, Gods of Their Own Religion, which was created during lockdown. Ash served as an associate producer, and his son played a major role. Together, the pair of director brothers have created a new, profound, and thought-provoking documentary film, Playing God. Ash, tell me, how did the premiere of Playing God go, and what's the reception been like?
First of all, Johnny, thank you very much for having me back on the show. I really appreciate you giving me this opportunity to talk about this very, very important film. I mean, it was beyond what I could have ever imagined. It was extremely a moving and well-received film, you can imagine, because of the content of the film itself. So I've lost video, haven't I? Sorry, it seems to be going off. I apologize. But because of the subject matter, this is it was really, really well received. But obviously, you can imagine from the audience's perspective, they were really hit hard. And the stories were extremely heartfelt and very, very moving, very powerful. And it really seemed to take the audience's breath away. There were a lot of tissues, a lot of tears. We also had some of the contributors to the film who had lost loved ones. They were brave enough to come along. We had two out of the five bereaved family members that came along. So that was quite a real honor to have them there present at their screening. And they received it very well. Their friends and family received it very well. Yeah, the outpouring of love, compassion, and support from all of the audience members, as well as the subsequent Twitter response after the films were then online premiered, is just beyond anything any of us making the film and those who participated in the film could ever have imagined. As I said, it's just so much power, so much truth in these films, because we were not just looking at COVID or midazolam and the use of these the COVID injections and the use of the midazolam drug in these situations. We were looking at lots and lots of other cases of terrible medical abuse, medical neglect, and really state protocols that led to the deaths of so many people. Systematic abuse going right back to 1978. Then there was a case of a baby in 2001. So we're talking about historic and a range of cases of cover-ups and lots of lies. And it's quite poignant, the timing of the release of the film, because you might have seen in the Times newspaper, they had the recent story about the haemophiliac children. Over 40 years ago, over 6,000 haemophiliac children were given experimental blood transfusions with contaminated blood in the full knowledge of the doctors. And it's only now, after 40 years, that this story is coming out. So this is really tragic. And we're seeing that these cases of cover-ups and these experiments that are going on human beings, including children, the vulnerable, this is really happening on quite a large scale. And I think that there is a eugenics element to this, to some of this stuff, you see. And when you look back at history, the Nazi Germany history, you can see a lot of parallels. And people like Vera Sharav, the Holocaust survivor, has also spoken about the parallels of what's been happening the last 4 years with the COVID narrative and what was happening 1933 to 1945 during the Nazi terror.
I feel blessed to have Vera Sharav as one of my readers as well. She told everybody about the Schwab pieces, how important they were when I wrote them. She's a great lady. What an important person, an important voice nowadays as well. Where do you start? Where do you embark on such an important project like this? Where do you begin?
It's a, That's a very good question. I mean, I think the whole situation, the world we found ourselves living in, it was just turned upside down. You know, you were suddenly under house arrest, or they were trying to put you under house arrest. They were trying to make you wear masks. They were stopping people from working. They were stopping people from getting to visit the GPs, to go to hospital. A lot of treatments were suspended. People were put on ventilators who didn't need ventilators. They were slapped with DNRs. People were locked in care homes, so no one knew what was going on behind those doors. And suddenly a lot of people were going missing. They were dying. And I think that that kind of circumstance really makes you question things, and it really makes you want to share what you feel is going on and hear what other people think is going on. And those stories, I said, that's when I set up Planet Uplift. I also watched a film called Racial Hygiene, which I must mention, because that was also quite an inspiration for me. That was a film made in 2014, which looked at the 1933 to 1945 period of the Holocaust, but not just the Holocaust, but the whole eugenics laws that came into place in 1933. These laws were all across Europe. It wasn't just in Germany. There were states in the in America as well that had these eugenics laws. They were doing a lot of experiments in Rockefeller Foundation, or investing funds in psychiatry, trying to see if they could see if things were genetic, and that people were were feeble-minded because of their genetics, their heritage, hereditary reasons. And they were pumping money into this. They were sterilizing people just because they couldn't tell the difference between, they couldn't explain what the difference was between a ladder and stairs. And on that basis, they were basically sterilizing people. These are children, and euthanizing people as well. So this was happening. And then, of course, when you had the Nazi show, the Nuremberg show trials, where only about 23 doctors that were put on trial, and only 20 of them were prosecuted. What about all the other 90,000? It couldn't have been 20 people just responsible for the death of millions of people and experimentation. So that film was very eye-opening because it was very stark. There was no music to try to dramatize it. It just had the testimonies of the people who had been sterilized, or the people who had lost loved ones, you know, just on the basis of being maybe feeble-minded, or making up all kinds of diagnoses for them, that they were having this illness, or that they were, you know, seen as a incompetent person who couldn't look after their child because they were a single mother. All sorts of reasons were given that these people were somehow unwell and basically subhuman. And so they were then either sterilized or euthanized, or even further, you know, you had the T4 program later on. So some people were just simply exterminated. And so it was really moving to hear those testimonies, and to also get some testimonies of historians and other doctors. So you had some sort of support for these people. They weren't just speaking as bereaved people. They had some backup from experts and so forth. So when we put this film together, we're very mindful, because so many people were coming forwards to us to want to tell their story. People had actually reached out to me and contacted me and said, "But we want to talk about what's happened to our loved ones." Because, you know, all of this stuff otherwise would be erased from the collective memory of the country, really. Just like the stories of these poor victims of the Nazi regime, all of their history was erased because they didn't get any recognition, some of them, until 2007, which is over 70 years after some of them were either sterilized or had their loved ones euthanized or exterminated. So similarly, these people, some of them were historic cases. We're talking about 1978, and this woman's story was completely erased from the British consciousness for the last 44, 45 years. So when she asked me to tell her story, of course, I felt really honored, and I felt like this was my duty to put her story out there. So we combined a lot of these stories. I met Jackie because we had some people that we had both met, a common friendship developed, because she had interviewed some of these people for her film, A Good Death, and I'd interviewed some of these people for Planet Uplift. So we got together, and she put forward some people that were interested to tell their story and brave enough to tell their story. I had some people as well. So we got our skills together, and we got the people that we had been in touch with us together, and we put this very, very sensitively I must also commend the work of the whole team, because you have to do something like this. You have to have real sensitivity, and you have to have an understanding of what actually is going on right now and what has been going on historically as well.
Yeah, completely. I completely agree with that. I mean, when you were talking about Nazi Germany there, and people being euthanized, sterilized, eventually murdered, that was one of the things that came up when I was researching Schwab Family Values, the first Schwab article. And what I discovered was this. I thought about what it would have been like to be a German nurse. You can imagine 1929, 1930, they're probably thinking, I'm going to become a nurse and I'm going to be a nice person who helps people out, who, you know, looks to sort out people's issues and people's problems. And then suddenly Hitler's gang takes over and this new process gets put in place. And it's a completely different scene. These people are then the same people who would have cared, would have wanted to care for people, are suddenly in a system where it's normalized to sterilize, to euthanize, and onwards. So, you know, how do we make systems that are more accountable? Because I think that's one of the problems, is you're talking about no one's taking accountability. How do we force accountability on something as important as a medical establishment?
Yes, this is the big question, because a lot of people are saying that we need a totally different system. We need to maybe work outside of the system. Of course, for the people, for the bereaved families, they want justice, they want answers, they want accountability, they want the truth. So I suppose what we were able to do at least is to at least get the truth out there, so that more people could recognize what is going on. Perhaps it may reach out to some lawyers who may become sympathetic to their cause, human rights lawyers. It may touch the nerve of some medics, perhaps. For example, on the day we had Dr. Malik, who came along to support us as well. He came along to speak for the voice of the doctors. We had Anna de Busseret, who's the lawyer that's featured in the film, talking about the need for perhaps a Nuremberg style trial. So there is a support, and I think what we need to do is to spread this film out to not just within the freedom community, but to, if everyone, we can do more screenings, or if everyone can tell someone who perhaps hasn't quite had the awakening that they need to, if we could bring them along to this film. I brought a few people along who were not awakened, and they were really affected by the film. You could not deny the truth of these people, because the stories are so broad. We're not just talking about, as I said, just the COVID narrative or the midazolam story. We're talking about stories involving other drugs and other medical procedures. We're talking about babies pre-COVID. So I think the first thing is to raise awareness and to try to bring people together as much as possible to see the film, because I said, how can anyone not be affected by what they'll see? And you're getting some expert testimonies as well to back this up. And even those testimonies are very powerful from the medics, from the Dr. Kevin Corbett and the lawyer. And then on the day we had Dr. Ahmed Malik, who came along as well to speak on behalf from his perspective as a doctor. And so if we can just keep bringing a person along and asking them to view this footage, then at least we can raise awareness. Perhaps we can prevent other people from going through this and making sure that they have some advocates who are going along with them to the hospital. But yes, of course, it's going to take some time, because we're talking about, we know that all the institutions at the moment are captured, but we also know that there are good people working in these institutions, in the councils, in the hospitals, in the legal system, who have stood up and advocated for the victims, other victims as well. So we've got to keep pursuing. I think it's a relentless task. It's difficult, as I say, because the people who in the film, who the bereaved families, want the truth, they want the justice, they want accountability. And then some people who are perhaps not suffering, have realized and woken up, are keeping very well away from the hospitals. They're trying to take care of their health, which is, of course, very important. We do need to take care of our health so that we don't end up unnecessarily being an experiment in a hospital. But it needs a complete overhaul, because the protocols are wrong. The people who have hijacked the ship, there's something wrong there, and it just needs it also, we have to be very careful of our children, because they're being heavily indoctrinated and their world is being severely controlled, I think. And so if we're not very careful, then we've also got to make sure that the kids who may not know any better, because this is the only life that they've experienced, this very heavily indoctrinated school system, we've got to make sure that they have the education so that when they grow up, they live a healthy life and they can keep away from the hospitals and they can work with care and passion and love. Indeed. Of course.
Ash Mahmood, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate hearing you, and thank you for all your good work, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure and a real honor, and thank you so much for giving voice to those families and to myself as well. Thank you.
No problem at all. And for everybody listening, well, Graham Moore, Brian Lupo Hernando Arce, and Ash Mahmood, modern day information warriors. It's brilliant. Again, we've had a wonderful show. Thank you for everybody in the chat for staying tuned. See you tomorrow on today's News Talk TNT.